Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Harper LaBelle in for Andy and Randy. Catchy little name on the midday show. They are off today. They'll be back with you tomorrow. Harper and I keep you company here on this Memorial Day. As got a lot of stuff going on,
yeah,
including...
Wait a second. Randy was here.
He wasn't off. Randy was here.
He wasn't even on his own... This is his show. He should be on his own show, don't you think?
Well, did you want to get up and come in and be here at 6 in the morning?
Fricky says he wakes up at oh dark 30.
At least.
I'm not waking up when he wakes up.
Well, then...
It must take him 45 minutes just to... You know, remember Jim Otto, the old center for the Raiders? He said it would take him a half hour to get out of bed. And one day they filmed, I don't know how they filmed it, right? But it was obviously staged. They had a camera there, and then he clicks the light on, and then he rolls over and he gets his feet on the floor, and he's sitting kind of, you know, like in a chair, but he's on the side of his bed, and it literally, he rocks himself back and forth and rubs just above where his knees are, and it takes him about 5 minutes just to get to the point where he can get enough strength in his knees to support his weight and get up out of bed. And this is 20 years ago when I saw this.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was a guy when he was in his 40s. They said he had the body of a 90-year-old
right. Because
of how ravaged it had been due to football.
So Fricky's in his 90s and has the body of a 40-year-old?
You said that. That was Harper LaBelle, John, that said that. It was not me.
You think he's taking a nap right now, or is he actually getting some stuff done?
It's noon.
Because normally you wake up at 0:30 and then you're done at 10. You go home and you take a nap.
Right.
So he could be a nap day. He may not be listening. And on his day off, I don't think he's listening to sports.
He slept in a little bit today.
Is he green thumbing it right now, or is fingernails full of potting soil?
He may be grilling it right now with a can of Hey Man.
That's true.
I bet he is.
Getting ready to invite Hugh over, who may be on his second or third shower by now.
It is a little warm today. Hey, if you missed the first hour of the show, don't forget you can find it online. Go to 929thegame.com. You can find it there. Sean Landetta, former punter in the NFL, guy played 22 years in the NFL, 25 years in professional football because he was in the USFL
yeah. For
a couple of years before that. Sean Landetta joins us coming up in about 20 minutes. Right now it is time for Did You Hear This?
Into center field for Acuña, setting up the Braves for their last chance here in the ninth. Cardinals are about to unleash their fire-breathing dragon from the bullpen. 3-0 St. Louis. 3-0 St. Louis as the Cardinals look to close out a shutout with their big weapon out of the bullpen. Jordan Hicks hasn't had a lot of opportunities of late. When he gets them, he usually cashes in. Throws pretty hard, and at age 22, is responsible for the 14 fastest pitches all year.
Pretty hard.
How much love are they giving this guy?
Okay, really hard.
Okay, I just want to know.
What's he going to do?
That's a fair ball.
Don't touch it.
Freeman's on his way into second. The first extra base hit of the night for the Braves. And now it's Josh Donaldson. 0-for-3 with a couple of strikeouts tonight. Donaldson with a line shot to right that gets down in front of Fowler. It's going to score Freeman. And here in the ninth, Atlanta's finally on the board.
Again, another mistake here. Fastball 103, but right down Broadway. And big league hitters can hit a fastball, especially when they know it's coming, and especially when it's right down the middle.
Oh, under Riley, hit it for the left center field gap. They're going to wave Donaldson around. Mark Hankins to third. Riley safe. Austin Riley comes through again. Only two non-sliders in this now 10-pitch plate appearance. Albies lines it to right, a base hit. Here's the hung up between first and second.
An unbelievable at-bat here by Ozzie Albies.
So did Shombi propose marriage in between innings to Jordan Hicks? Because that was an awful lot of love there.
There's a lot of man love there.
Yeah, the fire-breathing dragon. He was more like Puff, the magic dragon, last night. Jordan Hicks, three hits, three runs. They were all earned and a walk. So much for the Cardinals closer and
what are they talking
hyperbole.
About in St. Louis this morning? Are they talking about a blown save and how they might want to get Craig Kimbrell on the phone?
They're calling the radio in St. Louis saying, hey, we need Craig Kimbrell. We need Craig Kimbrell. Harper, though, this goes back to something you talked about a minute ago, is that the four-letter often does not give Atlanta teams a lot of credit. And if you listen to that, you would have thought that, man, Jordan Hicks coming in, the Braves might as well go ahead and start the bus. Go ahead, warm up the bus. Let's get back on the bus because we got to get to the airport because we got a plane to catch, because that's the way that sounded.
Freddie, Riley, Albies, how'd that work out for you guys? That was a great come-from-behind win. I was happy for the Braves to do it, and to me it shows a sign because people, the experts, air quotes, the experts will say, you don't need to look at the standings until Memorial Day.
Well, here we go.
I'm looking at the standings now. And considering all the hype around the Phillies and all that kind of stuff, I'm pretty happy with where the Braves are right now.
Those big-time moves for them, Harper and Real Muto, those things did not – they have not gone according to plan.
Yeah, they were probably expecting to have a 5-6-8-game lead right now. And frankly,
look at what the money the Mets spent. Mets aren't very good. Nationals aren't very good. We talked about sports dynasties a minute ago. Is there another team that should have been a dynasty that is not than the Nationals?
I was going to say the Cubs.
Well, that's you could make that argument too, but my gosh, how long have we been hearing about the Nationals and that great pitching and Strasburg and here, you know, and it just never has happened for them. They've never been able to put it all together.
No, it's all Dusty's fault.
Did you hear this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game? Bo, hit it.
The guy drinks scotch like a fish drinks water. I've seen it. Now, beer, I mean, I think that's more of a lineman thing, I guess. That dates back to my college. I mean, I guess it's still sharpened, that talent of mine, but it had been a while since I had enjoyed beer like that.
That is Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers on the Rich Eisen show. Apparently, he was on speakerphone. I read that wrong. That was David Bakhtiari of the Packers talking about Aaron Rodgers, who drank scotch like a fish drinks water. That was on the Rich Eisen show, and I guess Bakhtiari was on the apparently he was on speakerphone, the way that sounded.
Yeah.
Like Rich Eisen.
That's my quarterback. Oh, and he loves to suck him down. Boy, he can drink with anybody. Okay. Didn't we throw around how would you like it if Matt Ryan were on the sideline of a Hawks game with Chipper? Or some other Brave guy that, you know, challenging each other to a drink-off?
Can you do that in Atlanta, or is that just a Milwaukee thing? Can you only chug beers on the Jumbotron at a sporting event?
Well, if you're not doing that, you're going to be drinking nacho cheese particles. And other than that, it's beer in Milwaukee.
You get that injected in an IV, don't you? They just hook you up with an IV injection of nacho cheese.
Yeah, it's in the first vitamin K shot that you get when you're born, too. You know, they give the infants a little cheese and, you know, a little nacho injection.
If you haven't seen the video, it was David Bakhtiari, Aaron Rodgers, and Christian Yelich, right, of the Brewers.
Right.
Bakhtiari and Rodgers, of course, from the Packers, and the three of them at a Bucks home game, and they are literally challenging each other. I guess Bakhtiari was the guy that started it, right, when he chugs the beer on the Jumbotron. Crowd goes wild. They cut to a shot of, was it Aaron Rodgers? It was Aaron Rodgers next.
Second.
Aaron Rodgers didn't. That was kind of weak. And then they went to Christian Yelich, who he crushed one as well.
But then they go back to Rodgers, who points that Yelich's glass was only half full at the time. So they were all having fun. Yeah.
And then Bakhtiari tosses back another one.
Yeah. Game, set, match. Bakhtiari.
Did you hear this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game?
There are a lot of alternative pain medications and treatments, and those are the types of things that we want this committee to focus on with medical experts and with medical science behind that. Of course, they will look at one of those is what role medical marijuana can have in that. That's something that will be part of their studies, but it is much broader than that.
Roger Goodell on studying marijuana for pain management by the NFL.
Oh, what a tangled web we weave. Slippery slope now. I know that everybody that's a pro medical marijuana supporter will say it's great. It's good for you, and it's natural, and it's not including, a three or four name Squibb, Smith, Barney, whatever. You don't have all these pharmaceuticals. But it is medical marijuana. So what you're doing is you're saying you can't smoke marijuana, but you can take it. And that's a different strategy. How do you manage that? There are states that have legalized the usage of that. And so some states do, some states don't. Guy that plays in Denver can do whatever he wants.
You got anybody that uses CBD oil? Anybody, any friends?
I've heard, Kyle Turley on the air. We had him just before the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Who's basically now that's his life's quest is he's going around telling everybody how I don't have any pain anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got several friends with that have suffered from arthritis or whatever the case may be that the CBD oil has been the trick for them.
And I'm not opposed to that. If something works and it's been proven to work, because, I'll take vitamin supplements and stuff like that. I try to keep myself healthy, right? I try not to eat stuff that's going to give you cancer or use stuff that they know will. For example, I don't smoke because the side of the cigarette pack says you're going to die from cancer because of this. And I know I'm teasing with that. But basically, there's ingredients that they put in that nobody should, no sane person should put in their body. But I'm not David Pollack. Like, he won't eat 90% of what's out there. I'm not quite that way. I just, let's look at it. Let's see. And if it doesn't work, if it's a scam, okay, shame on me. I don't want to be a part of that either. So they're still finding things out. But, your body naturally produces endorphins that help you to shield inner pain. Some of that is a morphine-like material that your body produces to say it's not going to hurt so bad. That I get. But that doesn't allow me to go buy morphine and get, all of these opioids. Because there's a legal perspective. There's a moral perspective to that. So trying to figure all this out is going to be very interesting. And again, I hope that we get to a point where everybody's happy with the results that we get.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Did you hear this, Bo?
I don't know how much if he's on the court. It sounds like you guys are saying it's more than I realize. There's certainly no place for fans and, whatever it is exactly that Drake is for the Toronto Raptors, to be on the court. There's boundaries and lines for a reason.
Is there anybody that has been more annoying in the NBA playoffs than Drake? And isn't there like a Drake curse, Bo? Hadn't that been the story? And they're like, if
where
Drake
goes,
shows
bad
up,
things happen.
Yeah. Where he goes, bad things tend to follow, and then he goes to Toronto and jumps on that bandwagon, and you see what happens.
Well, but they're okay now. Toronto's
you agree
okay
with Coach Bud, though? Because I do. You don't need to have fans. Look, I got no problem sitting behind the benches and that, but on the court, and I know it's become a huge thing now in college basketball at every level. I see it in the Southern Conference. Everybody has gone to some sort of courtside seating. And oftentimes at the mid-major level, they've taken away from press row to put seats in for people.
Yeah, they want that experience. Right, sure, of course they do. Is any NBA fan more recognized than Jack with the Lakers? And he had row one, but it wasn't about – he was there, and you'd see him just about every time the ball would go ping-ponging from one side of the court to the other. But it really was never about him. Now right. It's kind of like, I'm here.
Right. Love me.
I'm here to perform for you. I'm here to show you what I've got. Some people like that. I personally, like, if anything, remember we did on Saturday, what could we change about the game?
Yep.
I can't stand the halftime shows that have bands. I love the bands and I love football, but the two of them do not mix, like peanut butter and chocolate. A Reese's they do not make. It's fake for the band audience.
You're talking they're about the national championships and the Super Bowl, where they pay a bunch of people to go out there and dance around and act like they're a fan.
Yeah, I don't like that because it's fake. You have to pay somebody to be a fan of whatever the band is, Coldplay. They've got their own fans that pay money to do that. But it's not their turn. Come on, don't. You're raining on my parade. No, we're enhancing it. We're making it better. We're giving it. No, you've extended halftime now. Where it used to be a college band. The Super Bowl I was a college band. I think it was Southern University that performed at halftime. And we didn't worry about that because it had nothing to do with the game.
As much as I love the marching bands, especially at the college level, love it. We're never going to go back to that at the NFL ever again.
I agree.
Because the Super Bowl halftime has become, for the people that don't care about football, that's what they tune in for. They tune in to see the halftime show. That's what they want to witness. They want to see Maroon 5 or Britney Spears and Aerosmith or whoever it is.
Yeah. You had the Bud Bowl as an alternative, and now literally you have and I say it here in Atlanta because they've bought it, the Pepsi halftime show. And it's a 25-35 minute performance that they've bought the time for. And you get Katy Perry, you get Lady Gaga, you get Maroon 5 or Coldplay, and Beyonce comes on. Okay, but it has nothing to do with the game. In fact, it takes away. It takes so much time to get those stages put together. I mean, it's really an amazing crew that's able to get that so smoothly taken care of.
Sean Landetta, 22 years in the... Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Crisco Forth, Harper LaBelle. Glad to be hanging out with you on this Memorial Day Monday. In for Andy and Randy on the Midday Show. As we head out on the WaitFor.com hotline, we welcome in a guy that spent 22 years in the National Football League. Sean Landetta joins us for a few. And before, Sean, before you came to the NFL, you spent 3 years in the USFL. We just saw the implosion of the Alliance of American Football. From your experience in the USFL, what did the USFL do right, and what did they do wrong?
Well, the USFL was a terrific league for those who remember it. 83, 84, and 85, we're going back 35 years. But the main reason it could work back then, guys, was at that time, believe it or not, the average salary in the NFL was around $70,000-$75,000. I mean, today it's up towards $3 million a player, so... The average salary the USFL could pay their players could be commensurate with the NFL. I mean, as I said, their average salary was around 75. Our average salary was around 45. So if you think today of a league that could pay an average salary of $1.5 million, half of what they're paying today, you could understand the power it had. And everything was much cheaper. Television was less. Everything was just easier to do. So today, to start a new league, it's almost impossible just with how much money it costs, and you see what happened with the AAF.
Sean Landetta, he spent 22 years in the National Football League. Did you ever consider wearing a helmet that had more than a one-bar face mask on it?
You know, I didn't. In college, I had the two bars, and I just remember watching the pro players. There were so many punters and kickers. Basically, every one of them wore the single bar, so... When I got to the pros, I kind of thought, well, that's what I'm supposed to do. That's what all these guys do, so I'm going to do what they do. And that's the main reason I did it. Looking back, I should have had a couple bars because several times there were elbows and knees that got through there and really could have done some damage. But I don't think they're allowed to wear that anymore.
Well, I would think that from a practicality standpoint, right, you're looking down after you make the catch, and if there's a bar in the way, it could affect your techniques. I've heard that. But let's be honest. You had the mullet go. You had a full-grown mullet And that pretty face of yours, you wanted to make sure that that airtime that you got, I'm sure that you wanted everyone to see how good looking you were, right, Sean?
Well, that's not that's not right at all. That's not why I wore it. I wore it for the first reason you said. There's no question that you could see better when you put the ball out. You didn't have a bar in front of what you were looking at. But unfortunately, I didn't worry too much about my looks. If I did, I probably would have been the first punter to wear a cage, because sometimes, as I said, you get fists, elbows, knees coming in there, and that can be a bad thing.
Sean Landetta, he spent a long time in the NFL. Most people, I think, will remember Sean, as I do, from his days with the New York Giants. Sean, I know there's a Parcells story or two that you've got, but Bill Belichick has been very complimentary of you over the years. What do you remember about Little Bill, as he was known early in his time with the New York Giants?
Well, Bill and I have always had a good relationship, still do now, some 35 years later. Bill broke into the NFL as a special teams coach. A lot of people may not know that. And right when I got there is when he switched to coaching defense. So he was just removed from special teams, but he still was involved. He'd watch every punt return, kickoff return, and him and I would talk every day for several minutes before practice or after practice about what I'm thinking, what happened here. And I think that's how the relationship started. You know, he saw I had such an interest in what I did, besides the fact that I did it. And, you know, through the years that built. So, again, through the years, you know, he's been a great friend. I know some people, you know, may not know him and have a certain way of looking at him, but, you know, he was a terrific special teams coach before me, and to say he's a great head coach would be an understatement.
Yeah, and he did a pretty good job with that defense, too. Sean, when you first got to the Giants, let's say, you know, early 80s, they were not a great team, but, boy, they sure developed into one very quickly. Was there any time or specific moment that you can remember where you said, we're going to be pretty good, and it's going to happen in a hurry, and next thing you know, you're Super Bowl champs in 86?
No, that's true. Early in the 80s, struggled a little bit, and after the 83 season, Parcells almost got fired, and 84, they turned it around. But when you talk about a moment, I remember in the 85 seasons, we had played the Rams, you know, who had the best running back in football. They'd been to the playoffs three, four, five times, just 5 years removed from a Super Bowl. And we beat them and went to 7-3. And I can just remember a lot of guys in the locker room after that game saying, man, we're 7-3. You know, we beat the Rams, a perennial playoff team. And you know, it's kind of one of those things that if we didn't know it then, at that time, we knew we had a pretty good football team.
Sean Landetta with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 25 years in professional football, 22 of those as a punter in the NFL. I want to stay, Sean, if we can, in 1985 and a playoff game that I guess a lot of people will remember. The Giants and the Bears, Soldier Field, Chicago. You know where I'm going here. You go to punt. Crazy winds that day in Soldier Field, and you miss the ball.
Well, actually, I made contact with the ball. I made contact enough so I got credit officially for a minus 7-yard punt.
Ouch.
Might have been better if I swung and missed, but just bad luck, bad moment. You know, there, unfortunately, probably had one of the best games I ever had, considering the wind chill was in the minus, and really punted the ball well that day. But unfortunately, I had a bad moment at that time. And sometimes people like to remind you about your worst moments, so that's part of the deal.
Was that the worst conditions you ever punted in?
Yes, it was. It was. It was. It was just very brutal that day. I mean, I played in Chicago numerous times. You know, we're in December. It was 42 degrees. Not a bad day. And it's just that day, the wind and the weather was very difficult.
Sean, one of the neat things, when I got to meet with you last week, that you didn't finish your sentence when you said, yeah, I whiffed on the punt. But we played really well. That was a game that we felt we were in it. And how you took that into the next season and were able to build off that. And you had said that you thought the Bears at 14-2 the following year in 86 were even better than the 85 team.
Yes, I think if you go look statistically, defensively, they were better.
Most people will always remember the, you know, the championship teams, and 85 they were exceptional, but in 86 they were 14-2 and they were every bit just as good. And you know, I thought we were going to face them in the NFC title game the year before we play them in the division. And, you know, it would have been a heck of a game, us against them, 2-14-2 teams. But Washington went up there and beat them. And so we ended up playing Washington in the NFC title game.
Sean, you were still in the league at 44 years old. I know quarterback is a completely different position. But how much farther into his 40s do you think Tom Brady can go?
I think he can play several more years. I think he can play 3, 4, 5 more years, maybe more. It all depends on how they protect him. I mean, we don't know, but I don't think he's going to lose his skill and his ability to throw the ball well enough at that level. It's just a matter of physically him being able to do it. So we're all aware of what he does on his own to give him the best chance physically to stay. After that, it's just protection and luck. I mean, you can do everything right, and if you get hit the wrong way at that moment, you can have an injury that ends your season. So I hope he stays healthy, and I hope he plays 4 or 5 more years. I think he can do it, and I think there are several other quarterbacks out there that can do it too. It'd be interesting to see.
Sean, do me a favor and break down what made it for you. I've seen, and you may remember, a guy named Joe Prokop who could kick the ball 75 yards in practice, but he would freak himself out during games and maybe get a 38-yarder and shank one off the side of his foot and then hit another one that's 50. No consistency. What was it for you that clicked to where you could put your hang time, your skill level, your ability to get the ball out quickly and hit it, and not mess with the fans and the other things that are around there? What was the magic for you that was able to click either at Towson in high school or early in the pro level that got you to the point where you could do this and do it with confidence?
You know, I really don't know the specific answer for that. I think it's a lot of things. A lot of things that if you're able to do collectively will allow you to do what you just explained there. I mean, you know, a lot of times I say I was lucky, and what I mean by that is just lucky to be able to do the things that are necessary. As you said, the timing, being able to be consistent. You just do all these things, and in the end, you can just do it or you can't. I remember when you and I were speaking at that event, you know, we were talking about how, you know, this guy paints like Picasso, and this guy plays music like Mozart, and this guy can put a car engine together with one hand without looking. Why can they do that? Well, I don't know if there's a reason why. Sometimes the reason is they just can. It's how they're wired. They're able to do it. And I think that was it for me. You know, I never played football until I was a senior in high school. When I was 12, 13, I could kick 50 yards with both legs because I played soccer. And I was just lucky to be able to do it. I think really that's the answer.
How did you determine which was the dominant leg to get you to the NFL?
Well, I was always naturally right-footed, and I was a little stronger with my right foot. So the fact I was right-handed and right-footed, I thought that would be the way to go. Now, looking back, there is no question that being a left-footed punter is a tremendous advantage. The spin is different. I've talked to returners. You look at the end of the year, left-footed punters have more punt returns that are fumbled. And even more important, returners will let the ball hit the ground because of the spin, so they'll get dozens and dozens of more roll yards. If I had to do it over, I may have gone left-footed.
Do you like the Australian guys, or the not the guys, but the strategy of rolling out and seeing whether or not you can run, depending on the coverage? And I would imagine you would be able to take advantage of it. Do you like the 3 personal protectors that some colleges are doing now? Is that a better thing for the game?
You know, the first question, I do like the Australian guys, the way they can kick on the run and do different things. Certainly the guys that have played in the NFL have all been outstanding, and I think you'll see more. The 3 personal protectors, I'm not sure about that. Now, I just think there's too much contact and too much penetration a little close to where the punter has to kick the ball. I understand the theory of it, but I think the 1 personal protector, you know, with the line in front, traditionally the way we always did it, is a little better. But, you know, I see a lot of college punters when they go to punt. There's a lot of noise, if you will, right in front of them because there's 3 guys in the backfield.
Sean Landetta, 22 years in the National Football League as a punter. Sean, quickly here, before we let you go, I have to bring this up because Sports Illustrated, they have a SI Vault Twitter account where they tweet out old photos from Sports Illustrated. There is a photo from 1991 from the Holyfield Foreman boxing match of you with a date. I want a very attractive blonde. I want to point that out to Harper since he's given you credit that or giving you a hard time about the mullet, because clearly, Harper, the mullet for Sean Landetta was working.
Yeah.
It was working in 1991. You were there, though, with John Bon Jovi and his wife. You still hang out with Bon Jovi?
You know, we still see each other periodically, not as much as we used to. We met back in 1989 in New York City. He's a huge New York Giants fan growing up in New Jersey, and, you know, had him come out to practice, then he'd be on the sideline of our games. We would camouflage him as a photographer. And, you know, Super Bowl 25 in Tampa, he's down there on the sideline standing with me, right next to me as, you know, they're getting ready to kick the final field goal. And, you know, he's just been a great friend through the years, a very generous guy. He loves football. And, you know, it's been really great knowing him through the years.
Sean, great stuff, man. Thanks for giving us some time.
No, listen, thanks so much for having me on your show, Harper. It was so great to visit with you. I appreciate you reaching out, and certainly look forward to seeing you when I get back in Atlanta.
Awesome. We'll have you on again, too. Thanks, Sean.
Sean Landetta, 22 seasons in the National Football League. Been with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. If you missed any part of that, by the way, Bo will get that up on 929thegame.com coming up a little later on this afternoon, so you can go back. If you missed part of that interview and part of that conversation, you can go back and check it out. We'll get to some NBA news and notes. NBA finals are set. We'll get into that next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.